We're going to sing some songs this morning, some old hymns and things. And I was thinking as I was doing this, you know, I grew up Southern Baptist, so I know all these hymns like the back of my hand. And I love them. I really do. I love them. My grandfather was a pastor here in town, and his favorite song was one of these songs we're going to sing, Victory in Jesus. And I can't help but think about when we sing some of these songs. You know, Ralph, as I went to see Ralph a lot, told me that when we're singing, we're not singing to God, we're singing with God. And I can't help but when I sing these songs that some people from my past are right here singing them with us, you know, that my grandfather's here singing it with us. My Granny Grubbs is here. She's singing these songs with us. And I just can't help but think of that when I sing these songs. So I hope that you'll do that this morning. We'll worship God in a little different way. But stand and let's worship Him.
Jesus, lead me to You. reading from Psalms 36, verse 5. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the ocean depths. You care for your people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. Amen.
Oh, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Descending, green from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. Praise.
my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
You are, God. How much we love you, Father. We give you praise this morning, God. Amen.
And everybody said,
amen.
I swear I heard E.D. singing this morning. No, he could not carry a tune. He'll say it in a bucket. I mean, Daddy singing was absolutely horrendous. But nobody could sing Victory in Jesus. with more passion and anointing than he could sing it. That little hand go up just like that, and he'd just be singing victory in Jesus with passion. I'm glad you're here. Should have brought some more people with you. You're going to be glad, though, you came. You're going to be glad you came. I mean, you're going to be really glad you came. You just wait. You're going to be really, really glad that you got up this morning and you came to church. Matter of fact, you are the church. You brought the church. You brought church when you came. And I'm glad you came because you brought church. Oh. We're going to do something I love doing, then we're going to do something else I love doing. We're going to dedicate a baby right now. So Lindsay and Barbara and some ladies will be coming up. Going to dedicate Zoe Lyric this morning. And some ladies that are coming. And as a young man named Michael Thurston is coming too. Wow. Yeah. And all of these ladies are here. Y'all can just kind of spread out. Michael, won't you come and stand next to me? All right. And Michael, the other last Saturday, I had a funeral service at 5 o'clock, and I got food poisoning at noon, and I was so sick, and I called Mike. And
wait, why did you call me at 2 if you got it at noon?
I was trying to work through it. And I called Mike, and I said, man, can you do something for me? And he did it and did a great job, and they told me how wonderful you did. Sharon, I knew you would. Knew you could.
I love Jesus.
I know you do. I love you. And anyway, I just want to commend him for being instant in season and out of season. Right? All these ladies have been a support to this family, to Barbara, over the years. And but Barbara's so thankful. So many times on the connection card, she just writes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just thanking people with gratitude. Yeah. And Michael's been a real inspiration to them.
And so has Will.
Will standing up here. I didn't see Will over there.
You didn't mention his name. I wanted to make sure. You,
I am. We're all.
And the thing is, it's everybody. We appreciate it so much.
Amen. The Bible says that before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I'm glad I've been working out. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he knew you, and that he formed you. He made every part of your being. He's got all these wonderful thoughts toward you that are unbelievable. And you got a wonderful name. Let me get right here a second. This name, Zoe, means not just eternal life. That's great. But Zoe means not just eternal, but abundant life. It's not just everlasting life. It's a life that's filled with abundance. And lyric is a word that talks about singing. And you're going to have a song to sing all the days of your life. And we dedicate you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we lift you up to fly high so that you can be God's child all the days of your life. And I just pump you a little bit.
Why do you think we're losing
weight? You belong to the Lord, and he belongs to you all the days of your life. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Whew. Y'all just feeling the muscles right there, I'm telling you. Often wonder why I work out every now and then. Now I know. Shane? how quickly we forget. And why don't you hang up, stay here with me for a moment. Need to listen. I'm going to pray for you. Okay. Father, I just thank you for Jason. And Lord, as he stands here today, he stands in representation of several people here. And I just bless him today. And I thank you, Lord, for a fresh fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit that's going to come upon him. I thank you, God, for blessings just coming his way rapidly, one after another. And Lord, he's going to remember this moment and give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You glad you came? I just hope I can get through this. I really do. I'm so excited about this. I don't know what to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now I want you to remember the word veil. Say veil. I'm going to test you at the end of this message to see if you remember this word veil, okay? So remember this word veil. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. When the veil is removed, we can see. And when we see, we can reflect. But you can't reflect until you see. And when you see it, then you begin to reflect it. I thought about that word see, and I'm reminded in John chapter 4 says that he that's born of the Spirit can see the kingdom. He can see it. He's got to see it, because if he sees it, he can enter into it. And you enter into it by the act of your own will. And once you enter into it, you can inherit it. But you inherit it because you're letting some old things pass away and some all things become new. You're letting some old things pass away and all things become new. You see, it's all about in life perspective. I want you to say perspective. Perspective. It's, the definition of perspective is this: the capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance. To view things in their true relations or relative importance. I was talking with someone last night, and I got a new perspective on something. And when I saw the new perspective on it, it went from here to here. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. I mean, he's had a bad week. Oh, I had a flat tire. Oh, boy. I burnt the toast. Perspective, right? Perspective. Stripped, naked, humiliated, beaten with wooden rods, and severely beaten and thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I love Eagles Way Church. What do we sing this morning? This was not planned. I didn't get with the praise team and say, y'all sing hymns this morning, because we're going to be talking about Paul and Silas in prison singing hymns. Wow, what a coincidence. Isn't it amazing how God is so coincidental? Isn't it amazing how God does things that you and I just take for granted sometimes, like this just happened to happen? It just happened to fall on Hymn Sunday that we talk about Paul and Silas singing hymns. Suddenly, and around midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. Listen, and the other prisoners were listening. The other prisoners, that's key, were listening. Where am I at? Suddenly, say suddenly. There was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. And the chains of every prisoner fell off. Let me tell you, there's always somebody watching us go through life. There's some other people that's going to benefit from what we're going through. No matter what we're going through, there's some other people that's going to benefit from it. There's some other people who are going to be saved because you're getting saved. There's some other people who are going to be encouraged because you got encouraged. There's going to be some other people who are going to be comforted because you're being comforted. You know, I had someone ask me one time, said, Buren, do you ever get discouraged? I just got to laugh at that for a moment. Do you ever get discouraged every day? Probably every day I have a moment of discouragement. But I want to tell you something that's good. Why you should rejoice when you get discouraged. Because for you to get discouraged mean that you had to have courage. Because you can't be discouraged unless you were first encouraged. And see, dis is a word that it just simply means somebody's wanting to diss on you. Or something's wanting to diss you. And most of the time, we find ourselves dissing ourselves. You see, Sunday morning is a great time to come and get a fresh perspective on life. You see, we're here this morning to get a fresh perspective on life. We're here this morning to look at the greater issues of life. How many know there's some greater issues in life? I was discouraged a few weeks ago. I mean, discouraged. I was just a little bit from being depressed. Because if discouragement lasts very long, how many know it turns into depression? And I was really about to get depressed. And I went home and I picked up my iPad and I opened it up and I looked on Facebook and there was a lady who posted, I need prayers today that I can get through this Lou Gehrig disease better. Wow. My discouragement left. All of a sudden, I got a brand new perspective on life. All of a sudden, what was discouraging me began to seem so, so insignificant, so, so small, that all of a sudden I started thanking the Lord for all the things that I did have. All of a sudden, I said to diss, you're not going to diss on me anymore today. I am going to not be discouraged. I'm going to be encouraged. How many would like for God today to suddenly change something in your life? How many would like God to suddenly shake your foundation so that everything that's had you bound all your lifetime all of a sudden is shaken off and is gone? How many would like that? I just got to preach a moment. How long is it going to take us to do what Peter said? And he said, don't think it's strange, the fiery trial, which is to test you, as some strange thing happened. No, the testing of the fire is for the trying of your faith, that your faith can come forth as pure gold. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and testings, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. You know, Christian, when something bad comes our way, when something bad happens, we like, whoa, where'd this come from? Or we start saying, why did this happen? You know, Paul and Silas, you don't hear them say anything about what happened. Let me tell you why they were beaten severely, why they were stripped, humiliated, why they were thrown into jail, why they put chains on their feet. Let me tell you why they did that to them, why this mob did that to them. Because they rescued a lady from human trafficking. They rescued a lady who had been, had masters of her, who took her around cities, and because she was demon-possessed and could tell the future, that they were pimping her out, really is what they were doing, and making money off of her. And so Paul and Silas, what they were following Paul and Silas, and these ladies were saying this, listen to them, because they can tell you the way of God. And Paul turns to and just says, in the name of Jesus. And immediately, she was set free. And because they did this good thing, they're thrown in the jail. They're beaten severely. Because they didn't rob a bank. They didn't steal somebody's cow. They didn't do anything bad. They did something very good. They rescued this lady. But let me tell you what they did wrong. See, they beat them. You know, how many's ever been humiliated? They were stripped naked. How many's ever been beaten down? Anybody ever beat on you? You've been married long enough, you've been beat on. Look at me that way. Somebody beat on you somewhere. Your children beat on you. Your children ever beat you down? You ever wonder, what in the world? I thought these were a gift from God. They are beating me down. You ever been beaten down? Well, they made a big mistake. They thought they could humiliate them. They thought that they could strip them down to where they had no more courage, no more pride, no more self-esteem. They thought they could beat them down enough, and they did, but they made a huge mistake. They put them together in the inner cell. They put them together in the inner cell. Had they separated them, this wouldn't have happened. Had they been smart, they'd have said, now don't put them together. So I got put in jail one time, and was two other guys, and it was so much more comforting to be in jail with two other guys. If they'd put me alone, they didn't know. Had they put me alone, I would have never, ever done bad, ever, ever again. That would have done me in. If they just put me alone in the cell all by myself, oh, no, I'd have been, oh, no, no, no. But they put me in the cell with my two buddies. And so the three of us in the jail, we got to just encourage one another. I mean, we laughed all night long. In the jail. I wouldn't have done that by myself. But we're like this going, oh boy, wait till in the morning. Wait till the morning's coming. Bearing what your daddy gonna say. You don't wanna know what my daddy's gonna say. But he's coming. He's coming. But we were able to kind of just encourage one another, because you know, the Bible says that. Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, observe yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But when he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? Is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better than one. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Aren't you glad you aren't alone? Aren't you glad that you have a family? Aren't you glad that you're part of a family? Aren't you glad that when you fall, you've got somebody there to help you up? Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Aren't you glad that you got brothers? Aren't you glad that you got somebody? You see, what the enemy wants is to get you isolated. What the enemy wants is when you're going through something, get you all alone and have your own little pity party where you just all by yourself. He don't want you to get with somebody. He wants to keep you alone. But see, if you're with somebody, then somebody is going to lift you up and help you. Because I guarantee you, when you're in the jail, there's somebody in there with you. And a matter of fact, really, you can never, ever be alone. Because the most alone you can possibly be is going to be four of you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. So the least that you can ever be alone is going to be at least four of you. Aren't you glad that when you're in the fiery furnace that there's a fourth man in there with you? Aren't you glad that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who's there? Aren't you? I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know, kind of bring it up today. This was me and Will. And we just got humiliated, beaten, stripped, and thrown into a jail. I just wonder what we would have been doing. I got a feeling we'd have been doing something. I believe Will would have probably looked over at me and said, this sucks. And I would have had to say, Will, now, I know you need to calm down. I'd been having to encourage him and say, Will, don't think like that. Yeah, but we were doing something good. I thought if you did something good, he was going to be there with you and he was going to help you. I thought if we was going to do something good, and then I probably said, you know, you're right. I did too. I thought so too. I thought, Will, if we went out here and cast out demons, that God put a crown on our heads. And I thought that somebody would give us an offering, give us some money for doing that. I thought that somebody would pay off all my bills if we did something really good. Man, but no, we're in this jail cell. And my back's hurting. My feet are hurting. My head's hurting. Everything about me is hurting because they have just beat me with wooden rods. And they didn't just beat me with wood. They stripped me naked. And the Bible says that they beat him severely with rods. And not only that, they put their feet in shackles. And they put them in an inner cell. But you know what? It wasn't Will and Buren. It was Paul and Silas. And all of a sudden, Paul maybe is over here in this corner, and he hears something. He hears something. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Shut up, Silas. I dare not trust sweetest frame, but I'll wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, sinking sand. Come on, Paul. Come on. Can't stay married 62 years and not sing a hymn, can you, Billy? Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul. When darkness veils its lovely face, I'll rest on his unchanging grace. And every high and stormy gale my anchor holds within the veil. When I can't see, when the troubles of life have come my way, when there's a veil over me and I can't quite see it, I'm still going to believe it, and I'm still going to sing it, and I'm still going to cry out, my anchor holds, say it, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When my marriage shaken and it's falling apart, on him I'll stand. He's my solid rock. When I have no money to pay my bills, I will still trust on Calvary's hill. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'll wholly lean on Jesus' name. Is that another verse? Yeah, something like this. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. But I still can't walk. My feet are shackled. And I'm sitting here still praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, there's a shaking. And the foundations. Aren't you glad he goes all the way to the root of the problem? All of a sudden, there's a shaking. And what was shaking was not to destroy them. It shook those shackles loose. And they stood up. And there was a prison guard there, and he was asleep. He's supposed to be guarding them. He awakens by this shaking. He looks in the prison. He pulls out a sword and going to kill himself. Because, see, me and Will, when the doors open, we'd have run out. We'd have taken that as a, oh, God, you showed up. Right? We just, let's get out of it. Come on, boy, let's go. Come on. Let's run. He's asleep. Let's go. They just stood there. And the jailer was about to take his life. And Paul said, whoa. Don't do that. We're all here. What must I do to be saved? Come on, Paul. What must I do? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only you, but your whole household. Oh, really? Would you go home with me? Would you go home with me? And so Paul and Silas go to this Philippian jailer's home. And got his son saved, his daughter saved, his other son and his other daughter, all of them got saved, Joy. And then years later, when you opened up the roll book of the Church of Philippi, first members was a Philippian jailer and all of his family. You see, you're not going through something just to go through something. You're going through something because somebody's going to get saved. You see, when I'm going through something, there's a whole bunch of people watching how I'm handling this and how I'm going to go through it. And when I start singing, they're going to start singing. And then there's going to be a shaking. Amen. Going to be a shaking. Years ago, Kitty and the praise team, this is years ago, was in the back, you know, doing their thing, getting ready to come out and lead us in praise and worship. And we were going to sing this song that morning called Crazy Praise. Anybody remember that song? Some of the young whippersnappers back there, y'all remember it, some of you. They looked at Kitty and they said, I don't like that. That song don't make any sense. Crazy praise. Oh, they said that to the wrong person. They said that. They shouldn't have said to Kitty. They shouldn't have looked at Kitty and said, girl, I don't understand what crazy praise is. And Kitty looked at them and said, well, let me tell you what crazy praise is. When you go through what I went through and you still can lift up your voice to God and pray, that's crazy praise. When you're down in the dumps, but you still lift up your voice to God, and all of a sudden they looked at Kitty and said, okay, crazy praise. I'm going to offer up crazy praise. They sung that song that morning with just a little different attitude when they realized that when somebody goes through some things and they come out of it worshiping and praising God, then you can say crazy praise. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I ain't gonna leave you young people out. There's another song out. It goes something like this. Player's gonna play. Breaker's gonna break. Haters gonna hate. But I'm just gonna shake. Shake it off. Come on, shake it off. I'm gonna shake. Just shake it off. Sorry. It's attitude. Y'all won't forget this service. It's attitude. I said it's attitude. It's attitude. Attitude and gratitude will get you in the place you need to be with God. and you'll find out that what they meant to harm you was only meant to save you. What the enemy meant to bring you down was only to lift you up. What all the trials and tribulations was for was not to take away from you, but to add to you, and to see that God's kingdom is being built because you are going to worship him in the jail cell. In the jail cell. Now let me tell you something. All you got to do. You see, some of you this morning, when you woke up, you didn't feel like coming, did you? How many just almost rolled over and said, I ain't going? Oh, a lot of love honesty. Look at the hands go up. I almost did it myself. I told Barbara one morning, I ain't going to church. She said, you got to. You're the preacher. You see, he don't want you to hear this. He don't want you to hear that no matter where you are and what you're going through, you're coming out a better person. You're coming out all things work together for good. Them who love God and called according to his purpose. For them that he knew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Them he called, he justified. Them he justified, he glorified. What shall we say then to these things? God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not then by him freely give us all things? What shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, the persecution, famine, the sword? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that's loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So the next time, your tire gets flat, remember Paul and Silas. The next time you're humiliated, you beat down, you shackled, you feel like there's no way out, just start singing hymns. The greatest encourager that ever walked the planet outside of Christ, the greatest, you hear this good, the greatest encourager who ever walked this planet was the most discourager and the most discouraged of anyone who ever walked this earth. His name was David. If you don't believe it, read the Psalms. But David would know when he got discouraged, he must have had some courage. So he's not going to let it dis on him anymore. And David would do this almost with the same breath, and he'd be singing psalms, hymns to the Lord. He'd be talking about how low he was and how down he was. With the same breath, he'd come right back with, Yet will I praise him. Yet, though there be no wine, though there be no oil, though there be no herds in the stall, yet I will praise him. Yet I will rejoice, and he'll make my feet like hinds' feet. and he'll cause me to walk on the high places. Yet will I praise him. This is what I want to leave you with. I don't care what you say. I don't care how discouraged you get. I don't care how low it may seem at the moment. I don't care if you even say, I don't even know if there is a God. If you'll follow it up with yet, I will praise him. Yet, I'll lift up my voice to him. I promise you, he promises you, he'll take some salve and he'll put on that beaten back. He'll take, you see, oh, this is right off the press, get ready. See, what we'd love to do is God come down Billy with a key and just undo the shackles. I mean, that'd be the right thing seemingly to do. Won't you take the key and undo? Why you got to shake? See, the shaking that's going on is so that everything in your life that needs to be shaken off can be shaken off. The shaking's not coming to destroy you. It's coming to deliver you. Oh, I got one more thing. I almost forgot. Stand up, because you can't get this one sitting down. You can't. You're going to help me preach this last point. You ready? How many? Keith, you ready? All right. I'm going to give you the phrase, okay? And then you just say it back to me, all right? My chains are going to break my praise, or my praise is going to break my chains. Oh, ho, ho. My praise is going to break my chains. My chains are not going to break my praise. My praise is going to break my chains. That's good stuff. I'll tell you, y'all almost preached that as good as I did. My praise is going to break my chains. Whew. You see, that's something we all got. Every one of us got it. He said, I don't feel like praising the Lord. Really? Really? I don't feel like praising the Lord. Here, come here, Paul. Bam, bam, bam. Beat him severely. Throw him in a prison cell. Do you think that Silas looked over at Paul and said, I feel like praising the Lord. I feel like praising the Lord. I assure you, I wasn't there, but I assure you, after 40 years of pastoring, I promise you, Joey, just trust me on this, they didn't feel like praising the Lord. You ever came here on Sunday morning, Jason, and not felt like praising the Lord? I got a feeling you've done that a lot. Happened, hadn't it? A lot. You didn't feel like it this morning. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
I don't feel like praising the Lord. Feel like. Ushers, you be coming, taking the offering. Y'all give big time because we're going to worship God right here. I don't care if you don't feel like it. Let's do it. I like that. Come on.
On the back of your bulletin, that little advertisement for what's going on, the lighting of the Christmas tree, is because these guys are going to be singing the Christmas carols and leading it next Saturday. So we were called and asked if we would come and do that, and we said, sure, we would love to. So from 5 to 6, right in front of the city of Griffin, across the street from Safe House Coffee, get you a coffee and then go watch the lighting of the Christmas tree and join in the Christmas carols with them. So they're going to be doing that. There are 15 turkeys to be picked up. For those of you that have signed up to cook a turkey, it needs to be back by noon on Tuesday. Last year it was Wednesday. This year it is Tuesday. Okay, so noon on Tuesday, cut it off the bone, ziplock it, whatever you want to do. If you cook the gizzards and livers and things, if you put that into the a separate ziplock, they will use that for gravy. So, awesome. We have committed to 200 children's gifts. We have 150 that we have done, so we are in need of 50 more. Our goal was to have all of those done by today. So if you can stop by there, sponsor a child, you can do one of two things. You can give a $25 donation, and that takes care of it. Somebody will purchase the gift for you. Or if you want to take your children or yourself and you want to go buy the gift, you can do that and bring it back. So either way you want to do that. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy time with your family. If you want to go at 10 o'clock to St. John's to help deliver meals, you can do that. I'll see you there. God bless you.